Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my husband, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. When we go into the workplace, have you ever noticed that there are some days that just take a ton of energy? That there are other people that can burn your energy, and that there are certain tasks that make the afternoon drag on and on and on? Well, that's what I want to explore in this episode. And in an effort to do so, we're going to talk about how incredibly inefficient humans are compared to, well, just about every other animal and insect out there. But before I get into the strategy to increase your energy in the workplace and life, I want to explore the idea of our inefficiencies a little bit. Steve Jobs, the Apple guy, used to tell the story about the inefficiencies of humans and our ability to travel a kilometer compared to other animals. I read about it in a book about him and have watched several YouTube videos about his thinking. But I'm kind of a geek, so I looked up the source of his conversation. It is the March 1973 edition of Scientific American. The story is 11 pages long and details how inefficient humans are when we compare our use of caloric energy compared to other animals. The most efficient of all the animals is the condor. A couple of flaps of those giant wings and they literally just glide the mile using very little energy. Most of the energy is used at the onset as the condor propels itself to altitude. In the meantime, us humans, well, we need to exert much more energy to propel ourselves that same distance because we have to walk it. Whether we run or walk, we are burning a lot of calories in comparison to, well, condors, salmon, and we're nearly tied with cows and horses. Now, we all know how I feel about cows, but I'm certain that buffaloes are as inefficient. So the study goes on to show how humans, compared to other species, are generally very inefficient. But then, and this is where Jobs got excited, and so did I after reading the article, the scientists decided to have some fun, and they added a condition that no other species could. What was it?
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle.
The scientists added a human element of technology. Yeah, the bicycle. Actually, they added all of them and then created a formula for energy used to go a kilometer. Once they added that element, guess what? We became off the charts efficient. Yeah, the bicycle. It did it for us. Our own bodies have not evolved to make us more efficient, but our minds have created technologies that have allowed us to accelerate in every element of the world. A human being on a bicycle is more efficient than a human being in a car, on a jet, or in a train, at least in 1973. I don't think the study's been updated for things like solar planes and Priuses, but the point is this. When humans have come up against anything inefficient, they've created life hacks that have addressed the issue. Steve Jobs used to say that the computer is the accelerator for the human brain, that the computer is our bicycle version of an increased efficiency for locomotion. He's right. Think of how quickly computers can now calculate, anticipate, predict, and model potential outcomes for us. But in an organization, in the workplace, in a classroom, in a boardroom, what is the bicycle for energy? It may just be bicycles, literally and figuratively. Every organization is as good as its people, and people are defined by their organizational culture. What is your culture where you work? What are their defining qualities, and what is your defining quality within that culture? Do people in the organization enjoy being there? Do people do their best? Do they have friends? Can they anticipate and participate in the decisions that impact them? The bicycle that can propel your organization is engagement. Are the people around you engaged? Do they hop out of bed, jump on the bike to participate in your organizational culture? One of the most moving quotes I've ever seen on how to define your culture is something like this. Culture is defined by the conversations being had as people are walking out the door. In other words, your parking lot conversations define your culture. I have to admit that I was not always good about wondering what the culture was. I used to believe that it's up to me to be engaged. But then, as my career and others' careers have evolved, you learn that, as the leader of any size group, you actually are responsible for setting the conditions for the engagement of those you serve and serve with. Mindset is one thing in life, but working in an environment with people who are highly engaged creates a lot of energy, increases risk-taking, allows for failure to be found as a motivating factor, and that success is the community itself. Bicycles come in many speeds, and when I was a kid, I thought I was pretty cool when I got a 12-speed for my birthday. It also came with a paper route, but that's a story for another podcast. Anyway, there are 12 conditions that are key to a culture of engagement, as defined by Gallup. Gallup has a product called the Q12 that I highly recommend to use in your organization to measure your culture of engagement. It is internationally normed, and for over 20 years, they have found that an engaged workplace enjoys an average of just 33% of the employees being engaged. Yeah, one in three people. That's frightening. If you have double that, you're in the 90th international percentile for workplaces. The more frightening part is that in the last 5 years, Americans have been somewhere between 13 and 18% actively disengaged, literally coming to work against the culture, leaving nearly half of all employees disengaged from the culture and their work. So, if you were to create a bicycle of engagement, there would be these Q12 questions, and here are the 12 speeds of engagement. Do you know what is expected of you at work? Do you have the materials and equipment to do your work right? At work, do you have the opportunity to do what you do best every day? In the last 7 days, have you received recognition or praise for doing good work? Does your supervisor or someone at work seem to care about you as a person? Is there someone at work who encourages your development? At work, do your opinions seem to count? Does the mission or purpose of your organization and company make you feel your job is important? Are your associates and other employees committed to doing quality work? Do you have a best friend at work? In the last 6 months, has someone at work talked to you about your progress? And in the last year, have you had opportunities to learn and grow? Those are the 12 gears of engagement. If you said no to any of those, you got to get working. Basically, do you have what you need? Do you like some of the people you work with? And can you spread your wings? Then, what is the bicycle for engagement if you have a low level of engagement in your organization? Well, no one learned how to ride a bike for the first time on a 12-speed. At least none of my friends. We all learned early on a single speed with training wheels. So the first bicycle to accelerate engagement in an organization is the mindset of the leader. Does the leader care about the engagement of those they serve? Does the leader have a reputation amongst those they serve for caring about others, making sure they have access to the conditions that support engagement? Does the leader show that engagement is important? I believe that every leader should be squarely focused on two things when they serve others, especially when focusing on engagement. Number one, what those they serve care about, like a family-first mindset. I heard a great organizational strategy the other day. There's actually a company that shuts their servers down on Fridays at 5 p.m. so people can't get email all weekend, and they are not turned on again until 5 a.m. on Monday morning. That is a family-first mindset. That is a way to demonstrate that you care about yourself, your employees, and those that you serve. The second focus is making sure that people have what they need to be successful, the resources, your support, and professional development so they can grow into any situation that they're facing. So once we graduate and accelerate our culture by caring about engagement, we have to actually get on a bicycle with more gears. These gears allow the organization to adapt to whatever the terrain is. So the many gears allow us to fly down hills and climb them using the exact same amount of energy. That strategy would be collaboration and taking the issue directly to the people that are impacted by them. So often leaders sit in a room and we talk and we problem solve and we guess. We're isolated and we try to fix everything. I call that process itting. Let's do this. It will work. It has to work. It will be better. It is the answer to our problems. Holy it! Stop it. Accelerate your culture by bringing the problems to the people, to the culture themselves. Have them look at the realities, the ones they are talking about in the parking lot, and remove leadership from the room if necessary. Create conditions where they can collaborate, get together, see the problem at its worst, and make it its best. Have them address the needs. Give them the budget and the autonomy to fix it. The extra boost to get that bicycle to really fly is a sense of ownership and independence in the culture. The leaders of the whole organization have to believe that they have autonomy and the ability to fix what is bothering them. They have to be able to go to leadership and share their ideas and concerns and know that they'll be taken seriously. And that is the last of the accelerators. taking engagement seriously. I firmly believe that we are all in charge of our own happiness, but I also believe that we as leaders need to work hard to create the opportunity for people to avoid misery. We can make it easier by providing the bicycles. We can teach them how to ride, show them the routes of ease and leisure, and we can work hard to support the upkeep of that bicycle. However, if people choose not to get on the bike, well, then they and the culture need to see you, the leader, provide them the invitation to leave. Yeah, leave the organization. The stark reality here is that cultures can be deterred by people who come to work and let the air out of everyone else's tires. It slows us down. It frustrates us. You need to have a pump handy and the courage to address these flatters. Yeah, flatters. Or as the kids say, the haters. Because a hater's going to hate, and a flatter's going to flat. That sounded ridiculous. Anyway, accelerate your culture by caring about engagement and making sure that everyone else around you does as well. As a leader, provide different types of bicycles for people to ensure that they get what they need so they can move quicker for the success of those around them. Mountain bikes for the adventurous, road bikes for those that enjoy speed and efficiency, single-speed cruisers for the leisurely, tandems for the teammates that can't be separated, and unicycles for the independents, or those clowns. Man, I wish I could ride one of those. Anyway, get to it this week, and accelerate what your culture can do. After all, if we can both increase our efficiencies, move faster, and enjoy what we are doing, then we're winning. So let's do some smart thinking. Describe the process that you can put in place to accelerate for those you serve. List your priorities for your culture. And last, which bicycle do you prefer? And do you have an engagement mindset? That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening, and please share this on your social media platform and rate it on whichever platform you listen to it on. Remember to follow me on Twitter at TNightsky or at SmartThink6. Also, don't forget, we're on Facebook at SmartThinking as well. And as always, thank you to the Wellpennies for their great music. Lastly, this podcast was sparked by those that I serve every day at CISA 6. We focus on engagement as a key performance indicator, and I believe that it is critical to not just enjoy your career, but to be engaged, to be surrounded by people that care about the mission and you, and want to be part of the solution. I'm blessed to be in a profession that serves those that serve children, and I need to be around people that love what they do and enjoy working with others, because at the end, everything we do impacts a kid. I naturally accelerate when the people I'm around have energy, because, well, I'm easily excitable. Anyway, this week, truly reflect on the amount of energy and dedication you put into the culture. Think about the ways in which you can make people more efficient. Think about what you do for the engagement of others, and if you're actively engaged. Think about how much fun it was when you were a kid and you rode your bike independently for the first time. All the things you discovered and the places you were able to lazily go, but much quicker than if you had walked. Wouldn't you love it if every day of work was like that, like when you were a kid, and it was fun and free? I would, and I do. So get to it. Create those conditions and find a way to create a culture where everyone is riding in the same direction with the sun in their face and the wind to their backs. Do that and you'll have people who create a tradition of engagement. And then you as the leader can ride your bike with no hands and a smile on your face because the culture expects you and everyone else to simply enjoy work or what we call the ride.
I know you've been blue. I miss the way you do. So drop your disguise and lift those tired eyes. And love, leave it be. Wait and see. Under a meteor shower, make such a sound. Up and down, play it a little bit louder. Oh my, have you ever seen such blue? clouds your worry mind. But love, leave it be, wait and see. Under a meteor shower, make such a sound. Up and down, play it a little bit louder. Oh my, have you ever seen such blue sky? Oh, what I would do up so high, suddenly to know it's all I'll ever need. Oh, don't speak, I just want to feel that heartbeat rattle in the dark, it's so sweet. I'm gonna keep on moving till I'm who I want to be. And I'm no good either, I'm trying to break away, but don't be so eager to stay. Before it began, you held it in your hand. I'll take yours in mine, world outside. So love, leave it be, wait and see. Under a meteor shower, make such a sound. Up and down, play it a little bit loud.